Thank you, Sean. Good morning, everybody. And I'd like to thank George Washington University for the opportunity for Booz Allen to participate in this conference and the opportunity this morning to share a few thoughts about disaster communications and how to be sure that disaster communication systems are thought through and planned before disasters occur so that solution alternatives are available and a part of a baseline response that organizations and regions put in place in anticipation of disasters. So we have some thoughts to contribute to that here from the podium and then later from the panel discussion. What I'll quickly go through are just a quick summary of the kind of threats and threat agents that unfortunately I feel we're all too familiar with these days that represent risk to the day-to-day communication systems that are used both by public safety as well as by the public and industry to get an appreciation for the range of threats that need to be understood and how they relate to one another and the problems they can cause in terms of the operation of the baseline communication systems that are used every day. Talk a little bit about what we mean by disaster communication systems and what it takes to operationalize those kinds of communication assets. And then end the discussion with a view of an integrated approach to planning for and ensuring that sustainable backup communication systems for disaster circumstances are in fact available. So the types of threats, as I say, we're all too familiar with, are of course those that are due to a natural phenomenon, certainly recent events, the hurricanes and tornadoes and so forth, indicate the severity and the catastrophes that can bring down core communication systems. There are a range of human threats, some of them accidental or incidental. Often, though, they're not. They're direct threats such as terrorist attacks or other deliberate efforts to bring down not just the communication systems but to create disruptions in basic operations to include the communication systems that are used by the public as well as the government. Either man-made or natural, these things manifest themselves into technological failures of different kinds, different levels of severity that render the primary communication systems that are used in a region, if not totally inoperable, severely degraded. And as a result, lacking any planned and routinely tested a suite of disaster communication systems, we have situations such as we saw certainly post-Katrina. So planning and implementing as comprehensive as possible primary and backup disaster communication systems winds up being absolutely essential to being able to maintain minimum critical operations, particularly immediately after a major catastrophe or disaster in a region. Now, I think it's already been pointed to today, there's no silver bullet, there's no one-size-fits-all solution. In working, as we have recently, with several federal agencies who are dusting off the National Response Plan and remembering that they have certain kinds of responsibilities during times of crisis as the federal government moves into crisis operations as a part of COOP and COG, that the right way to look at this is what kind of portfolio of technological solutions are best to have on tap and available, ready to be implemented in response to disaster and emergency circumstances. So really it's a matter of putting together a toolkit of communication assets ranging from traditional systems through SATCOM systems, through quickly deployable systems, even looking at some of the more advanced wireless technology architectures for things such as deployable mesh networks, things that could be used and deployed rather rapidly. Think that through, understand what's affordable, what can be used under certain circumstances. Not everything in the toolkit is even going to be available depending on the nature and the extent of the disaster. So putting all the eggs in one basket here in terms of what a backup system would look like to support emergency communications is ill-advised. The point was made earlier, the word operable being pointed to. There are a lot of issues with interoperability. We all know that in the day-to-day communications that are in place, and certainly interoperability is an issue in disaster communication systems. But you have to have the fundamental operability for communications immediately after a disaster. So the focus on that to make sure that general requirements and core requirements are addressed, as well as looking at the interoperability needs, the minimum mission critical interoperability needs that need to be addressed in disaster circumstances, are important. The other important aspect of this is to actually baseline the idea of having a complement of primary and backup disaster communication solutions in the normal operating model within regions, among public safety agencies, and in support of public needs. Not to have this be a mad scramble immediately after a disaster, but rather to be very deliberate about understanding the procedures and protocols, the training that's necessary, the exercises that need to be run, so that those who are going to use these systems, the communicators, actually have a degree of familiarity before going from what are the day-to-day systems that they're used to into something that's going to look and feel differently to provide a minimum level of critical communications. Routine testing is critical, making sure support staff are trained, that the relationships and contractual relationships are in place with the vendor community to keep the systems operational and current, and also just the whole issue of logistics. Many of these assets are deployable, are solutions that require quick staging and setup, and so the whole flow of the logistics is critical to work out, and also to be something that gets tested and should be a part of the exercise routine. There's a range of drivers, again, when we work with clients that we look at when trying to help them think through what are the right complements of emergency and disaster communication solutions to have in place. These are probably not very profound, but they are what you need to work through. The core general use or operational requirements, if you will, the interoperability that's at least minimally needed among a community of responders, what are the citizen-based requirements that you're able and willing to support, from alert systems to some kind of minimum degree of communication assets available for citizens to use. COOP and COG have referred to that earlier, necessary ties and understanding of requirements that come out of the National Response Plan or the National Incident Management System. Staying current and being aware of what vendor solutions provide is also a very important thing. So having a view of and having an open mind toward different solutions that can meet different the different requirements that you have, and not being wedded to current day solutions, but to have some view of new products that are coming on the market, particularly now that industry at a higher level is paying more attention to this particular market. Also, funding is critical, and marshaling the funding resources that that regions may have, through whether it's through grants or through direct government funding. And funding, of course, becomes a gating issue. How much of this can be afforded, how deep your backup systems and disaster recovery systems can be, is a function of the funding that can be secured. The last point on the slide is a commitment at senior levels of leadership that this needs to be a routine part of what gets planned for and what gets pressed, particularly in political circles where funding decisions get made. Disasters happen in regions of the country, as we well know, so it's very important that integrated approaches get taken, particularly with an eye toward regional cooperation, regional solutions that allow for the right level of coordination to be affected between levels of government, federal to state to local, among the different elements of government within a particular tier, federal to federal, state to local, or state to state, local to local. But also important is the external coordination, particularly with non-government organizations, private sector in particular within a region. So the more that can be done in the planning process to involve this broader community of stakeholders, the more practice the community is going to be to shift into emergency communications and disaster response, and the less learning on the fly will happen post an event. This last slide just tries to suggest some near-term and long-term activities that are that are important toward a more routine treatment of disaster communication solutions throughout the U.S. I'm not going to go through each of them. I will highlight a few in terms of near-term activities. There's two things I'd like to highlight. The third bullet down of developing a disaster communication system planning methodology, much of what talked about earlier, went toward being very systematic about planning for and being ready to deploy disaster communications when needed, and that only can happen if it's an integrated methodology. The other thing is that there are really important things that need to be fixed soon, and so within regions of the U.S., the critical need under that fourth bullet to identify and respond to some high-risk areas that require immediate solutions in place, whether they need to be in place before next hurricane season in the southeast or need to be in place as soon as possible in advance of other natural disasters that might hit the West Coast and so forth. So there are some critical things that need to be addressed as a rapid part of any solution planning process that gets put in place. In terms of the long-term activities, let me just point to that fourth bullet, and I think this is something that we, as certainly at the federal level, based on our experience with our clients, used to do better about 15 years ago, which is really take very seriously the emergency communications and disaster communication systems that need to be planned through and in place prior to the need for them. So the whole idea of getting back to institutionalizing disaster communications planning into all levels of government and into the regional planning that gets done in anticipation of events is very critical. And with that, I will sit down.